You
Maybe
understand?
I've been deceived there. That
well,
the
tell
problem
me.
is where will you get the persons to buy your bonds if you say no? Because bonds are going to be allocated to you.
Yes.
And so if the government knows that they have people out there that are willing to take them, why not pitch the bonds to them? Why use the civil servant as an intermediary stage? Mm-hmm. You're saying, but we know they're going to be taken up, so you don't got nothing to worry about. Who says that? How do they know this?
There's one other way of looking at that. I mean, when you think in terms of the ability, I think the government has already linked it to, let's say, a company offering shares. I think I read that earlier, which is the whole idea of trying to give the public servants more of a stake in the country. That's one way that they are actually putting it out there to the public.
Companies don't offer shares as salary. They offer it as a bonus. Your salary is supposed to be, according to the laws of Barbados, be paid in legal tender. And if you want to give them shares, you give them something else in the companies. Some companies in Barbados, they give their people shares, hoping that they don't ask for increases, so you will fool them into believing that they have one part of the company. And then when you retire or when you are dismissed or you resign, they say, well, no, you can't carry the shares with you. You've got to sell them back to the company. And the burden for what they're giving them to you. These people deceive you all the time. This is Barbados. I'm crying out loud. This is not a savings plan. This is government trying to deceive the workers into accepting that a lesser salary and get bonds.
Okay, to continue on from a bit of what Jaswell is saying, when the government saves this $110 million on its accounts, right, this money is then allocated to the Capital Works program to be able to drive jobs in the economy. Yes, okay. Persons will benefit, yes, in terms of getting a wage and what's not. My main concern here is that government is using the BOSS program as a creative accounting tactic to be able to save government's finances, but essentially the workers do not benefit based on how the program is set up. So the idea about the savings and the interest is that's a red herring to be able to attract interest. But if you study the mechanics or the economics behind the BOSS program, you will see that the workers are being seriously disadvantaged, much to the benefit of the government of itself, to be able to achieve its IMF targets.
All right, there's some feedback here on this question of what portion of it is considered to be forced. They say the default position for BOSS is to automatically pay with bonds above $3,000, and the payee then has to opt out. That is exactly, that's the line that you are taking. That
okay.
There's a portion at which you can opt out, but some people believe that you should be put in a position to have to opt out at all, right?
Yes. I believe in the first place, you should be given the option if you want to sign on to the program or not.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Let's move on to another caller. Thank you. Hello?
Hey, good morning.
Yes, good morning.
Yes, sir. Good morning. Good morning to Cadro Franklin there as well.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm well. I think so.
All right. I just want to add and continue on from what you were saying and what my comrade that was just on, King Mar, was saying. This is another, in my opinion, another austerity measure by the ruling Barbados Labour Party, and enforcing measure as far as the basic economics, as the PM was saying, with last in, first out. You cannot force people into something that, going forward, economically speaking, would not do them any justice in the long run. And with that being said, this measure will not work. I don't see how it would work in the long run. It's something that I think needs to have further discussion on. You need to discuss it further before you run to implement things. Just like they've been implementing a lot of different strategies without having proper consultation, discussion about half the measures that this party for the last 2 years that they've been in despite the celebrations they want to do for what they have been doing. On top of that, I want to ask this question for you, Mr. Ellis.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about the issue that was about here on social media with the lady that was in dire straits with the housing with the children? Do you not think that the rural development should have been the ones to be dealing with that? Why is it had to go to the PM? Where is the rural development stance in all of this? Why haven't they been saying nothing? Why have they been so quiet? That's my question to you.
Well, I think that ultimately rural will have to deal with this matter, because I think the last development I saw was that they moved in to assist by doing some repairs to the building, and the landlord went to their attorney, and there was a cease and desist order preventing anybody from assisting the lady in that way, because clearly the person who is landlord believes that that is going to be against their best interests if this continues. So the government is now forced to look for some kind of property for this woman and her children. You know, why is it so? Well, we agree that not, you talk about urban, but there are other government departments as well that should have been in there earlier.
I agree with that also. I fully agree with what you have just said, right? But the main point is, right, even if other government entities should have been involved from the get-go of this woman's dire situation, right? Because my heart really goes out to her, and I just want to, before I even say anything else, compliment that young man that has been on the social media. We talk a lot about the young people. There's a lot of negativity around them, but I want to compliment that young man publicly for really going out his way and putting it out there and making it known what this lady's plight is. And compliments to him.
Hers and others. I mean, I think it's
a
standing
job.
Piece of work. But I think there are two of them who are involved in that kind of work on social media.
I only see one of them, but yeah, whoever else is involved with him, very good. And I also want to, you know, to some extent compliment the QEH on trying to handle the, because I was listening to Juliet Boyner Sutherland the other night on the television, and a very reasonable job in trying to handle the COVID-19 issue that is still lingering over Barbadians. Apart from that, all right, as I was saying before, I still think that the urban should be the chief cook and bottle washer handling this situation from the outset. The PM, it should never have to go to the PM, or the PM needs to be running here, there, as she likes to do here, there, and
yeah,
everywhere.
But she can delegate.
You understand?
Sometimes you don't get anything done around here unless you go to the top.
Apparently so. So.
But then the top can delegate. She doesn't have to go and put up the house herself and ask her.
Yeah,
or put up on a truck and move it.
Oh, okay, but probably that's why she thinks she has to, basically seems to have to do everything. Probably that is why it is being suggested, or
You need to be very careful following things on social media.
Look,
we are dealing here with this issue of the bond. And what is emerging here is that it is indeed true that at a certain point, people are being issued with the bonds automatically. And they then have to opt out. From what I understand here, the person would be issued with a bond. If you say that you want cash, then your bond will be sold to the central bank, who will then sell it on the market, and a bond will be issued. So to that extent, people, there is coercion there. That's the interpretation.
Well, exactly.
At that point,
there's
coercion there.
Right? Yeah. Well, that's what we were trying to say to you. You cannot. There is a forced issue. It don't matter. Don't matter how you change your name. If a cow is a cow, you can't call a cow a pig. There's a big difference there. A cow will always be a cow, and a pig will always be a pig.
Yeah, but you still. But the truth of the matter is.
Hold on a minute.
Hold on. Listen to me.
Uh-huh.
What will happen here is that one portion of this as we said, you are forced to take it. Well, it is forced upon you, but you're not forced to take it. That's the point. You still have the option to say, I don't want it. Now, what arises...
It's above. The point was made to you, not only by myself, by Kimura and Comrade Franklin there. If it is above, you don't have an option. There's no option.
No, that's not what I'm being told. That's not what I'm being told. I'm being told, look, let's accept that if you, the ideal, listen, my friend, just give me a break. You from where? Where you say you from? The Young Dems?
No, I am a member of the Democratic Labor Party.
Okay, well, please. Just let's have the discourse. It isn't that I don't want to hear you, but it's just how we speak with each other. I suppose the ideal would be to have the option before the salary is lodged and the bond is allocated. However, what is happening here is that it is being done, and then you still have the option to opt out of it if you don't want it. No. For me, then, the other question is, and what price do I pay, if any, for opting out at that stage? Right, Caswell?
Yes, that is the point.
That to me, would be a critical issue. What is it that you... What do you sacrifice because you didn't get a chance to say no prior to the salary being lodged and the bond being set aside? Do we know what price people are paying for that?
Consent should be obtained before.
Before, okay.
Not after. Let's say you have a young lady and you decide, well, you're going to have your wear, and then you're going to seek consent after the fact. It don't work like that.
Okay.
Oh. Exactly. You have to seek consent.
No, but isn't that a legal issue, therefore? If consent is not achieved before, then it becomes a legal matter.
Of course it's going to be a legal matter. So that's what we are saying, right? You have to have the consent of people in the society before you can come and, for lack of a better word, force feed something to people that is not palatable to them. You can't force feed a person. They have to want it. They have to engage you. They have to allow you. And this be my final point, because I have other people don't want to take up the program, right? Just to say, cover off with what a first caller that you had come on this morning and say, I want that caller to know, all right, that the Democratic Labor Party has done a magnanimous amount of achievements, have done a lot for this island, who, for lack of a better word, seems to have very short memories, right? A person, you can't stop a person from having loyalty, but when your loyalty is blinded and colluded in such a way that is unimaginable, you have to be realistic. So when that caller that was on your radio earlier this morning talking about had not been for Grant Lee Adams and this and that, he went down the lane. Well, I need to repeat, because it's utter rubbish. Rubbish.
Which part of it is rubbish?
All of it. He has to remember that half of this same Democratic Labor Party, in all the areas of achievements, education, housing, agriculture, in the insurance scheme. And I can go on and on. I can go on and on.
It's amazing.
Remember that he and others that will continuously come on the OB Delta Brass, that's on any other medium, whether it be in the paper or not, and talk nonsense. When you're going to talk, you must be fair.
Listen.
When you're going to say something, you must have a balance, right? Not be lopsided.
Look, okay? Let's cut to the chase and recognize that. No one of these two political parties made Barbados what it is today. They both did. And they both exploited weaknesses. They both contributed to the fact that we are not even further in our development because of the politics and the way that it has been practiced over the years. So we give them with one hand and we chide them with the other. And both of them, some to a greater degree than others at points, but they've both been good and bad. This is Down to Brass Tacks. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Hello? Welcome to the program.
Hi. I'm here and I'm totally confused. I've listened to all sides and getting confused with this thing. What is the real objective that government is looking for?
Well, the government is trying to raise $110 million for a capital works program.
Right, and they're doing that by creating some fiscal space, expenditure.
Yes.
Right? What I'm trying to understand, what they're trying to do, how does it disadvantage the employee? At the end of the year, okay, an employee getting $3,000 a month, that's $36,000 a year. At the end of the year, that employee will be getting less than $36,000.
Kazel, you wanted to speak to that?
This problem is not at the end of the year. You want it at the end of the month. And you want your money to pay your bills. Look, in 1991, right, when government cut 8% of the workers' salaries, of everybody's salary, not only people at a higher level, people at the upper levels in the public service, when they did the run on the treasury, they thought something was wrong with the computer because a lot of the computers spit out net pay 0.00 for hundreds of people. People are at the edge then and they are now. So if you take off anything from these people's money, because people pay their bills through the check-off system in the public service. So you can assign part of your salary to your mortgage, the car payments and stuff. And what little bit left have got back, you have left back, sometimes it is less than the 8% that they had, okay? That is the problem.
Yeah.
So when you go to the world talking about at the end of the year, I'm not talking about end of the year. I can't wait till the end of the year. I want to know at the end of the month. That is the
All
problem.
Right. Good. Okay, I understand what you're saying, right? Now, what is legal tender?
Cash. Money. Cash.
Is a check legal tender?
It is not legal tender, but it can be exchanged for legal tender. It can be exchanged for cash, and you have accepted it. Because under the law, right, you can refuse to accept a check.
Yeah.
You cannot refuse to accept money.
Good.
As a matter of fact, if you look at the Protection of Wages Act, it says that an employer can only give you a check with your consent.
Good. Now, with the bond, can you also exchange the bond for cash?
Yes. But
you have to have consent first. Let me finish, speak first. You accept first.
You have to have consent.
Good. And is that not what
the government is asking
the people to do?
You must give me a bond. You must not give me a bond and go, then accept it.
Right. No. Is that not what the government is asking the people to do? Will you accept a percentage of your money as a bond or not? Is
no,
that
they
not
cannot
what the government
do
is doing?
That. They
but
cannot
they're asking
do
you,
that legally. I'm saying to you, and even Ms. Motley back in 1995 pointed out that you cannot do that to people. You cannot pay people in any in kind. You must pay a legal tender.
But
you can accept your money by check or postal order or whatever else.
Listen to me carefully. Listen to me carefully. I'm asking, can the employee agree to take all of his money in cash? Or also, can he agree to take part of his money in cash and part in a bond? Can the employee do that? That's all I'm asking. Yes
Subject
or no?
Subsection 2. In all contracts of employment, the wages of your worker shall be made payable in legal tender and not otherwise. And if any such contract, the whole or any part of such wages is made payable in any other form, such contract shall be illegal, null, and void. That is the law. That is Section 3.1 of the Protection of Wages Act. It goes on to say, subject to subsection 2, and it says, notwithstanding subsection 1, the wages of your worker under your contract of employment may, with the consent of the worker, be paid by check drawn on your bank, licensed under the Banking Act, or by a postal order or money order. That is all.
All right, but I'm asking you, okay, and can the employee not ask the government to deduct money for a bond?
Listen to me. You are trying to bend this bit.
I ain't trying to bend anything.
You want.
Listen,
you
know,
trying to get the answer that
you
want.
I can tell you what
any contract,
now, right?
Well, any contract, otherwise, it's illegal.
Okay, just hold on.
Let me come to what I really want to
what
say.
What you want
right?
to say?
I can tell you, this is my personal view, right? I think the government is trying to save people's unemployment, okay? Because I think that is a step that a lot of people would like to see. They would like to see the government dismiss some of its workers. And the government has found a creative way not to send home people, to reduce the payroll, but not send home people, right? And that is where the big bug is for opposition parties, right? They would prefer to be able to see the government send home the people, right?
Yeah,
and that's
you
want,
just hold on. Hold on. Here's this comment here, too. I am yet to hear a civil servant complain about the BOSS program. Not a single person in my department has an issue with the program. I always give Senator Franklin an ear, but please tell him we don't need his advice this time around. We will not miss out this time, like what happened with the BMB.
Oh, he just wrote me just now. And
he wrote you too?
The person just wrote me. He is not a civil servant. He is not a civil servant. He's retired.
Yeah.
And he is a BMP. He just wrote me. I responded to him and saying, the BNP, government, no trade unions and nobody, opposition didn't stop people from buying. Government didn't want Barbados dollars. They wanted foreign exchange. That is why public workers credit union that was interested in buying shares of the BNP did not get any because government did not want to give them that money because we would have been paying in Barbados's legal tender. They wanted foreign exchange.
Yeah, they wanted the property, the foreign reserves at the time.
They wanted foreign exchange.
Yeah.
So
I'm
tired of hearing this nonsense about people not buying BNP shares. They were not offered to us. I wrote the Honorable Wayne Arthur and asked him to release that condition on the credit unions because credit unions could not have bought shares. At that time, the law did not permit them. I wrote to him, and I said to him, I was secretary of the credit union at the time, and I wrote to him, and I asked him to amend the law to give credit unions the permission to buy them. The law wasn't changed, and the credit unions did not get any. So don't come with that. I was wrong too long. I'm not 25. I'm 61.
David.
Yes, sir.
Listen to me. When the the thought just gone. Give me a second to regain my thoughts, man. Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
Okay, this money. Okay, the bond. Okay.
Yeah.
At what stage, if the employee decides I don't want the bond, at what stage does he get his money in terms of his payroll at the end of the month?
I can't give you the immediate answer.
That's okay. That's the answer.
I do not know when I'm going to get it because it's got to be dependent on when somebody buy the bond from you.
From the central bank.
No. If somebody buy the bond
then,
from you,
then that is printed money, and the central bank under IMF program is restricted from printing money. That is what it's all about.
Listen to me, David.
Yes.
To my understanding,
mm-hmm.
before your payday. It is already decided if you want your money in cash or not.
Yes.
And your money will be on your account for your payday, both for the bond and for the other 90%.
Yes.
So when you get that from that somebody who wants to buy the bond, what nonsense?
I think it's all that in saying.
Where you get that from? Because government has, you have to submit a change of pay form, I think, by the second Tuesday of the month. So tomorrow is the first Tuesday. And then the next Tuesday, you have to have that information in. If it then you're going to get what government is doing to you.
Well, you have adequate time, though. In other words, you have adequate time to put it in.
To get your money.
If you fail to do that, who do you blame?
No, but you don't want it, so you just tell them straight, left my money where it is. Simple.
So it's your choice. And you will get your money, because I think you're making a noise this time, though. I like
No.
But you're making a noise.
I am not here. this as is an noise. Apologist for any political party or trying to bend it
this
to make
is
it
noise,
make the
this,
party look good. I'm not even trying to make them look
you're
bad.
Making noise
I am here
about
solely to protect workers. That's what I get paid to do.
This is noise. This is noise, Caswell. I don't
this
like
is
it.
Noise. It is people it like is. You who do not, who are not genuine enough to come and use your own intellect. You want. You have a political position that you want that you have to
man,
there for
man,
your
man,
party.
You see, that
really no, you're moving.
That,
no,
that
no.
Let's not go there.
Let's deal with the substance of the issue before us. Not the individual. Okay.
But that's the problem. The individuals are coming out.
Let's go.
Propaganda.
Thank you very much for your call, sir. Let's move on to another call. Mr. Franklin is still here with us. Hello, Don't a Brass Tacks.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good morning.
First
good morning.
Time caller.
Yes.
I'm a civil servant, and I have a query.
Yeah.
Why must I wait to the end of the month? I don't want the bond. I could tell that from now. So it should be given on to me from now to say I don't want the bond. Therefore, my money should not be taken out and given me a bond. Who wants the bond in the first place should indicate, well, they want the bond. They want to be part of the program.
Right.
I right now do not wish to be a part of the program. So it shouldn't be that I have to go to my department and fill out a form for it not to be taken out. They shall know by now, John Brown does not want to be a part of the BOSS program. So therefore, when John Brown is due to be paid, it should not be any argument. We all know, I don't want to speak bad of the civil service because I'm a part of it. Sometimes the wheels move a little slowly. So if I have to the second Tuesday in a month to get my request in, who will move the time that my request goes into time that my bond will that my money will remain as it is? Suppose a person is sick. Suppose they move late. Suppose they move slow. At the end of the month, I will be short. I have my mortgage to pay. I have my car note to pay. The option should have been given to me up front. Well, John Brown, John Black, do you wish to be part of the program? Yes, no, I do not want to be a part of the program. So therefore, it's not an option for me because I want my cash. It's forced. I see it as forced because you're taking it out and then asking me if I want it back.
Yes, and I think that's an interesting point which has been raised here. I wouldn't be surprised if some people take this further, but can you share with us why you don't want to be part of it?
I made some decisions family-wise that right now if the money comes out, it would have me a little thin.
Right.
Some things I have going will elapse.
Right.
Before this time.
But if you didn't have that,
I would have more spending power.
If you didn't have these issues, would this have been attractive otherwise?
Yes, it would have been attractive.
Okay.
It would have been attractive based on what you're saying.
Yes.
But right now,
it's difficult for you to take it on.
Yes, please. And it's quite sudden.
Right.
It's quite sudden. It's not, because we're hearing first that it was going to be a cut. Then he was hearing it was going to be me 10 turn. Then this BOSS program came up, and it sounds interesting, but I believe an option should have been there to ask me if I wanted to be a part of it.
Yes. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Franklin, are you going to stay with us? Or?
Yes, great.
So we're going to the regional roundup, then the headlines, and then we'll be back. This is Down to Brass Tacks. I have with me Senator Caswell Franklin. And one of the points that he has been making from the start of the program today is that he believes that the decision to go in the direction of this BOSS program and to issue bonds is against the Protection of Wages Act. He argues that according to this act, a person has to be paid in cash and the bonds do not represent cash. Now, someone here has written Caswell, and they want to know this. They say, doesn't the same Protection of Wages Act have a Section 12 that speaks to an agreement of cooperation that can vary any of the provisions of sections 1 to 11. If that is not enough, isn't the purpose of the meetings with the workers to get general agreement? Then, isn't it true that Senator Franklin would have an opportunity to participate in a debate in another place on necessary amendments to all relevant pieces of information? Did Senator Franklin read the proposal? Does he understand that a person who does not opt to be in the bond arrangement will still get their cash each month? And finally, is this yet another desperate attempt of his to go against the other unions to build membership?
You want me to answer that?
All of it, not just part of it.
The agreement of cooperation that the person is talking about is a partnership. If you are in a partnership with some person else, these things don't apply to you. This is a partnership. Where people form partnerships. This ain't got nothing to do with I want to cooperate with the government and give them a thing. The person don't understand what he's talking about. He read this thing and he didn't know what he's talking about. That's one. I am not making any desperate attempt to release anybody. People come to me and they tell them, look, go back to your union. Okay? Some of the people come to me, my hands are full. I am not, unless I get somebody clone me, I don't have enough time to do all the work that is required. I'm not looking for more membership. If they come, I will take them and I will try my best with them. But I'm not out there trying to anybody. Sometimes when people at the other unions have matters, I call them and I help them with them. So ask them. And you will see that people are misjudging me and misjudging my motives. My motive is to help the worker, full stop. Even if the worker, only a couple of weeks ago, a young lady who I represented when I worked at NUPW, she was not satisfied with the outcome of what they were doing after I left all these years, and she came to see me. I put her in the right direction, and I spoke to the people at NUPW and said, this is what you need to do for her. I could have stolen her from them, so they don't come to me with that nonsense.
Well, let me ask you something. Given the kind of demand that you have just identified, isn't it possible for you to create one or more jobs for somebody else, for other people in the union? Because the union, your union, comes across as though it is all about you. It revolves around one person. In many instances, people will be looking at continuity and the extent to which, if something happens to you, then the union will fold up. So how do you see its future running like this?
We are looking to expand. But I'm saying we because there's an executive. Mind you, the president, you don't hear him out there walking about.
Who's the president?
The president is a guy called Alvin Hall. He works at the airport. But he is not one of those people who go out there and jump in and get anything that he should not be involved in. Union presidents, as we practice it, are people who chair meetings and sign checks. We have a different type of president happening these days, who are not trained in industrial relations, who know nothing but industrial relations, but are always up front. This is not their role. I know that because I know the rules. I know that because in 1984, I was one of the persons who sat down and revised the rules for NUPW. So I know them well. The role of the president of NUPW is to chair meetings of the council, the executive, and the general body. And sign checks, full stop. Nothing more, nothing less. I ask people, who is the president of BWU? I know they tell me, Toni Moore. I said, no, she's the general secretary. You want to know why? Because the president of the BWU does her role and does what she's supposed to do. We have other people who go out there and want to be seen.
I think it's important to get a sense of the evolution of your union. I mean, you say you're looking to expand. How old is your union now, no?
My union was formed deliberately on the 26th of July, 2010.
Why was it formed deliberately on that date?
Oh, that was dirty rat.
That's the what, again?
The days of the rat.
The days of the rats, okay. So... Given more time, you might have decided to form it. Not only on in July, we might have gone to the United States to form it then, given what's happening there right now.
But yeah, honestly, we took the forms into the Corporate Affairs office, and we said, how do we get this union form on a particular day? They said, well, what you do, you bring in the documents, and if they are correct, we will approve it on that day. So I said, well, here are the documents, check them and tell me if they are correct. He said me yes. I said, good, give me them back. And I took them in 1996.
So how has this union changed over the years in terms of its structure, with the whole objective of becoming a more entrenched union within the country? Because we don't hear those things. We don't hear any of those things. So let me take the opportunity to find out now.
You see, the problem, David, we are small. We are trying to grow. And let me start from the beginning. The workers at the airport, I was representing them when I was at NUPW. And when they fired me for the third time.
Who, NUPW?
Yeah. I got fired there three times. And the workers wanted me to represent them. They, without my knowledge, went to the other union and said, look, we have over 100 people here that want to join your union, but you have to employ Caswell because we want him to represent us. The position of that union was, we'll take you, but we're taking Caswell. So they came back to me and said, look, Caswell, why don't you form a union to represent us? But the union would not be viable representing only 100 people at the airport. So we decided to expand into Barbados. So we are a general workers union. We are not a specific trade airport union. We are a union. Any person who is employed in Barbados can join the union. It has been a hard sojourn because people come to unions when they're in trouble. When there is no problems, we don't see them. Sometimes people join and they pay their dues, and then after you get the matter solved, then you don't see them again.
So how hard is it to maintain a small union like this?
It is extremely difficult. Sometimes at 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm still working. And now too, when it comes to, because I'm also a senator, I have to read all those things that pass through the Senate. So I get help from Ryan, who is our vice president. He comes in and he helps somewhat. Cases at the airport, they're handled. So I don't have to go to the airport unless it is something very serious. So I'm training people to take over from me because I cannot do it by myself. We have just acquired some additional space at the office, and that space will be used for training so I can step back and let other people come to the fore. But right now, I am all over the place. I'm at hotels. I am at government departments. I'm at the labor department. I'm all over the place. So I'm trying to do something about that. But I want it done properly. So before I can let loose anybody on the workers of Barbados, I have to train them. And that is why we have acquired the space. And that is why we will be doing training for our members.
How big is this small union in real terms? Can you see it?
We have over 1,000 people who have signed up. Do we get just from 1,000 people? The answer to that is no. The people pay sporadically. The people who pay in the government service, who have the checkoff system, they pay automatically from their payroll, like how to do with the bonds. Sorry about that. But other people who are not in the government service, they come in and they pay. Sometimes they don't come in at all. Yeah, the one guy came to me and said, well, I didn't pay you, so I got to pay you for last year. And then when he paid, he said, oh, I got a problem at work. You understand? So he paid for the year that he missed. But he only came back because he had problems. I didn't see him for a whole year.
So it doesn't, to the average person listening, they may say to you, it doesn't sound as though this has a long-term future.